Well, we've been walking through the how do's. How do I? This is the final how do you do. I know there are more how do I's that we could walk through, and some of you probably will write me a note and say, by the way, you never touched on this one. And I appreciate that if you would do that, because then we can look at them later on. But this has been quite an adventure, hasn't it? Walking through the how do I's. Today we're talking about how do I prepare to live. And I'm doing something a little bit different today. I'm just going to use the inspired word of God, some stories of living, and I want you to just paint a picture this morning. There's no points. There's no little formulas that I'm going to give to you, because I want you to just create a picture with God this morning. In fact, one of my favorite stories involves a kindergarten teacher who told her classmates to draw a picture of what was important to them in life. And in the back of the room, Johnny began to intensively labor over his drawing. You know how Johnny does it? He takes the black crayon, the purple one. Everybody else finished handing theirs in. Johnny was still picking up the crayons, still drawing. And so the teacher just graciously walked back to the class, because that's where Johnny needed to be for a reason, and put her arm on Johnny's shoulder and said, Johnny, what are you drawing? And he didn't look up. He just kept on working, picking orange crayon. Feverishly, he was making this picture, and he said, God. Very gently, his teacher said, but Johnny, no one knows what God looks like. And Johnny still continued drawing, and he said, they will when I'm through. If you were requested to draw what was important in your life, what would your picture look like? Would it be your pain? Would it be your hurt? Would it be your money? Your checkbook? Would it be your feelings? Or would it be God? Think before you draw. God is good. Hello? God is good! You got it. I don't even have to get you to repeat it. God is good, Satan's not. It took me a long, long time for me to undo and overcome the plan Satan had for my life. But God is so good, and there is no pit so deep that his arm is not long enough to reach down and lift you out. He can help you overcome any kind of addiction, any kind of habit, any kind of past. There is nobody that has done too much wrong for God wanting to get involved with you to bring healing to your life. So I invite you to listen this morning. God loves you. And I know that's something that we hear a lot, and we throw that statement around a lot, but I just want to tell you that today. Kind of like dear old dad, sitting in the easy chair, talking to the kids about the hockey greats. God loves you. He really, really loves you. And his love for you is not based on what you do or what you don't do. His love is unconditional. And he loves you because that's who he is. Amen? Do you hear me? God's love is unconditional. And no matter what you've done, no matter what you do, no matter what you don't do, God still loves you. Praise God this morning. I think you need to put your hands together and praise Him. Because God is love. I'm here today to tell you that God loves you and He's got a plan for your life. No matter what's happened to you in the past, it's not too late for you to prepare to live. It's never too late for you to live. I'm going to let the Word of God convince you just for a minute of what the Bible says about the plan God has for you. John chapter 3, verse 16. Scripture that most people hear. In fact, you might be familiar with it from the King James. In fact, you may even quote it to some people, but I'm going to read it to you, and it's on the front of your bulletin in the Amplified Version because it just really speaks about it. It says, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that He even gave up His only begotten unique Son, so that whoever," I love that, because it doesn't say that, oh, just a few people, some people, the chosen few, the special ones, the privileged born ones, it says whoever. That includes everybody here today. Can you say the word whoever? Whoever believes in, you know, you're going to believe in something. May as well make it something that's going to produce something good in your life. I tell people sometimes, you know, if you don't believe in God and you're wrong, you're making a serious mistake. But if I believe in God all my life and I'm wrong, I still haven't lost anything. So I think if I were you, I would get on the believing side and give God an opportunity in your life. Don't put your faith in yourself. Don't put your faith in your money. Don't put your faith in a world system. Don't put your faith in education, in your friends. Put your faith in God. Because I say God's way is better. Amen? God so loved the entire world that He gave His only begotten, His only Son, that whoever believes in, whoever trusts in, whoever clings to, whoever relies on Him shall never perish, but have everlasting life, living forever. That's how you prepare to live. Sounds simple. God loves you. God wants to be your friend. I don't know about you, but I can never have enough friends. God wants to be your friend. I want you to think about that. Your friend, little Johnny, drew a picture of his best friend, God, the thing that was important in his life. God wants to be your friend. Will you let Him? He wants to forgive all of your sins. Everything, the bad stuff that you're carrying around with you right here in your heart, in your mind, in your very soul, God wants to take that from you and make your load so much lighter. Will you let Him? He wants to give you an amazing future. I believe there are people here this morning that just need a friend. You need your past white clean. You need to let go of all that bad stuff. You need your sins forgiven, and you need a future. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. And sin. There's not big sins. There's not little sins. There's not medium-sized sins. Have to get over that thinking. Have to get over thinking, well, you know, I've done a bunch of bad stuff. Sin is just sin. We all need God to take it away so our load is lighter in life. Sin leaves a stain in our life. And it hinders us from truly living because that stain, we try to deal with the stain, and the stain keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It always seems that when a stain just starts, we just try to get rid of the stain. You ever tried that? Get rid of the stain, and it gets bigger, larger, bigger, larger. Has anybody watched the news this past week? You'll have to fill the rest of these people in. How many of you know a place called Virginia State? Yeah. 23-year-old went on a spree with two handguns, killing 32 people. And I know sometimes we wonder, where is the love of God in something like that? But you know, in the aftermath of the worst devastation, God does his biggest miracles. I mean, you think of Noah and the flood, and Noah gets in. I mean, God said, everybody, if you don't look after yourself, you're going to be destroyed. And so this flood's coming, and Noah's building the ark. Everybody gets in, and also whoosh. And then all of a sudden, mankind was given a fresh start. Through the 10 plagues in Egypt, God delivered his people from slavery. Through the destruction of Jericho came the birth of a new nation and a promised land. Through the death of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, came salvation of all mankind. The God who accomplished all these things, the same God who somehow, some way, would accomplish good in the midst of evil. And that, to me, is love. The tragedy is that we somehow think that evil is triumphing. Evil is running scared, let me tell you. Because evil knows its days are numbered. And until that day, there will continue to be shootings, there will continue to be tragedies, there will continue to be floods, but praise God, there will be an ultimate end to the grieving and the tears. Because one can only find a resource of hope in Jesus Christ. I mean, we cannot change the horrendous events and the grieving families in Virginia. We grieve with them, but we can be used by God to bring about a kingdom victory in such a time as this. Amen? God loves you. Even though sin would love to have you. But even the stain of sin will not prevent God from loving you. Because 1 John 3:8, it speaks of, I was thinking of 1 John 5:18, which is, I'm a child of God, and the evil one can't touch me. Isn't that a neat one? But 1 John 3:8 says, it talks about our stain remover. It says that the reason that Jesus came to undo the works of the wicked one. For this purpose, Christ came that he might undo the works of the wicked one. Other translations say, Christ came that he might dissolve the works of the wicked one. A couple of years ago, we decided to put carpet in our house. I'm allergic to animals. And the previous owners were animal lovers. And I love animals. It's just that, you know, I sneeze and cough and wheeze and gasp for air when I'm around them. And so we needed to replace the carpet so that I could sleep at night, and then the new carpet smell kept me awake at night. No, I'm just kidding. It didn't actually. But the carpet looked great in the store. I mean, it was a light beige color. It was just beautiful. I mean, it was, you know, and they assured us that it would hide dirt very well, and it does. I mean, unless you walk on it or spill on it. And like any good carpet, the installer leaves, and I go into my family discussion voice, it's a family meeting time. You know, you call an emergency family meeting, you just got new carpet, so. And I explained to the family that the do's and don'ts for this new carpet. Like, for instance, there's no drinks, they're allowed to pass the carpet, like anything that's red, blue, purple, orange, brown. And it would pass inspection first before it's allowed to rightly pass the carpet. No red sauces are allowed across the carpet. Nothing like red chips or tortilla chips or red potato chips or Wendy's chili are allowed to go across the carpet. So you have to set these guidelines, you know, and I was quite proud of myself. I mean, I explained it, you know, how I how I preach on Sunday morning. So it was well done, and everyone agreed, and we definitely needed to keep the carpet clean. And I made my way through the kitchen of furniture that we had sitting there because the carpet was all done, and I caught the edge of some kind of bookcase or something, and my hands went to shaking, and so did my beautiful cup of coffee filled to the brim, and the rich taste of Grimm as it went all over the carpet. You talk about a nasty stain. So I did what I always do in emergency situations like this. I screamed at the top of my lungs, "Joan! I spilled my coffee all over the carpet. What to do? What to do?" Joan came immediately with the best solution known only to man, a special stain remover along with applicator, and she wiped that stain away, sparkling clean, and you could not even tell that anything had happened and anything occurred, and I did manage to get a smiley grin and say, "I was just baptizing the new carpet for us." But that's what Christ is to us. He removes the stain. The Lord is the stain remover that you're required to have in order to prepare for living. And you know something. I thought when I first spilled that massive bowl of coffee, because it always looks bigger when something happens, I just thought, you know, I could just use my socks. Rub it. Tell you something, our carpet would no longer be light beige. It'd be kind of a coffee brown, and it would be long, you know. I would have made a mess of things. I didn't have a clue what to do. On my own, I would have just made a mess of things. I needed a dissolving agent. I needed something that was going to eat stain and make it disappear. And when she was done, you would never know. You wouldn't have a clue that I was so accident prone, because there was no stain left. And that's exactly what Jesus wants to do for your life. He wants to not only forgive you for your sins, he wants to bring restoration in your life. He wants to bring wholeness into your life. He wants to renew your mind. He wants to heal your emotions. He wants to give you just a great social life. He wants to bless you financially. He wants to give you blessing upon blessing. I mean, when God is on your side, who can be against me if God is for me? There's really only one thing you really need to do this morning. If you're a sinner, you need a Savior. And you need to just surrender. Not about begging, "Oh, please, God, please help me." It's about receiving. To as many as received him, he gave power to become the sons of God. You just simply surrender and receive the mercy of God. Because God wants to be merciful to you, but you have to receive mercy. Mercy is kindness that you don't deserve. God wants to be kind to you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you something you don't deserve. He wants to get inside you. He wants to scrub all inside with stain remover and make you sparkling clean. Take away all that heaviness that you're carrying. He wants to take away the darkness that you've put there. He wants the depression. He wants the discouragement. Inside, he wants to fill you full of hope and life. You know, it's really not what we have on the outside that makes all that much difference, or what we don't have, or how many problems we have, or what people think, say, or do. It's really what's going on inside of us that makes the difference in our life, in living. And if you're strong enough inside, you can handle anything that comes against you. Absolutely anything that comes against you. Doesn't that sound good? Amen? If you believe that, how strong are you? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it's important to look at quickly. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. Because I want you to understand, it's important for you to understand that there is no possible way you can earn what I'm talking about. See, we always want to buy something, because then we feel we've earned it. Salvation can't be earned. Don't think you can leave here today and think, okay, you know, I can go and I can get myself fixed up and then I can have a relationship with God. It doesn't work that way. First you come to Him and then He fixes you up. You come to Him because you can't fix yourself. You can't forgive yourself. You cannot keep yourself from sinning. Only God can do all those things and more for you, but you can never earn it from Him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's all planned. You just need to show up. By grace through faith. Grace through faith. Say grace through faith. Grace through faith. Grace of God is His power doing for you what needs to be done in your life that doesn't cost you anything. God's riches, Christ's expense. You know what we deserve? We actually deserve to die and go to hell, but Jesus took our place. He took your place. He died in your place. He took all your sin. He took all of my sin. He took the sin of the world and He took it upon Himself. And the Bible says that when He hung on that cross, the sin of mankind came on Him, that it marred His appearance to the point where He was not even recognizable anymore. He did that for you. He did that for me. And all He wants is for you to just believe. I'll tell you something, you don't believe in God with your head, you believe with Him in your heart, and that's most of the time where we kind of get messed up. Sometimes we just analyze this, we educate this to death, and it becomes difficult to accept with the faith of a child. As Jesus said, unless you have the faith of a child. Children are believers. Do you know that? Children believe, they believe. They believe because they have the faith to believe. I remember Felicia, she was my daughter, she was 3 at the time, and boy, I cut my finger. Man, have you ever cut your finger? I did. I mean, the pain. I mean, when I was turning that page, reading her that book, what a paper cut I got. I mean, it macheted its way through my finger. You ladies understand when a man cuts his finger, you understand that it becomes a doozy. Well, mine put a doozy to shame because it was quite a hard book. And I was in panic phase, and I was going, oh, wow, oh, wow. Felicia, 3 years old, took my hand, and she looked at my butchered finger, and she said, don't worry, Daddy. Jesus will fix. I'll never forget that. Jesus. We'll fix it, Dad. Whatever you've got today, Jesus will fix it. You just have to believe it. We want to analyze, we want to privatize, we want to attributize, and all God says is just accept it. Come like a child. Just be a child. And we get all messed up because that just doesn't make any sense to us. I believe Jesus died for me so strongly that I would stake my life on it. I've given my life for it. This is what I do. This is who I am. Did I see Jesus die? No. Was I there? No. How do I know? I know that I know that I know. I know in my heart, and I know because I've seen the results of what loving God and serving Him has done in my life. It doesn't mean things have been easy. It doesn't mean I'm free of suffering. But it does mean that when I'm suffering, there is one I can go to, who completely understands me. I can share the word with you this morning. I cannot convince you. I can tell you my story. I can tell you what the word says. But I know who can convince you, and that's the Holy Spirit. And I believe he is working inside the hearts right now. Tugging at the strings of your heart. Knocking, and you're opening the door. Convicting you. You got this kind of feeling like, well, I've done this. I've asked Jesus into my heart. Most of you have opened the door that you've never walked in. Most of you have reached a point where you've said, oh, I just need Jesus. I need to accept him, and he's knocking at the door, and so I open up the door. And he's still standing at the door. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to force his way in your life. You'll feel him tugging at your heart, but then you have to invite him in. You have to say, Jesus, I want you. I want to receive you. I believe in you. I want to be a Christian. I want to learn your ways. I want to live for you the rest of my life. Perhaps you're here this morning. You've never done that. Maybe you've thought about it. Maybe you didn't think God would have you. Maybe you thought you'd given up so much. You just thought, he can't change me. I can't even give myself to him. And maybe you thought you don't have to give up too much. Will you have to give up anything if you become a Christian? Yeah. Sin. Misery, defeat, hatred, violence, unforgiveness, discouragement, bitterness, jealousy, resentment. It's freedom. It's freedom not to have to be angry all the time. It's freedom not to have to worry all the time. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Say that with me. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Praise God. And I tell you, everybody in the world today is yelling about freedom. We're free, we're free, we're free. Not if you don't have Christ in your life, you're not. You're not free. Being able to do anything you want to do, anytime you want to do it, being able to make a big mess out of your life as you want to do is not freedom. Why settle for that? And you can have something so much better that's being offered today. Today is your day to prepare to live forever with the one who loves you more than anyone else will ever love you. Are you living a life that is free? What kind of a drawing did you create as we began this morning? Is it time to draw a new picture? Margaret, I'm going to ask you to come and start playing. Salvation is not because of anything you can do. We can never do enough good works to make up for our sin. Jesus Christ came and he was perfect. He died in our place. He went to hell. He took the keys of hell and death away from Satan. He rose victorious and he's seated at the right hand of God and he's praying for you and for me. And guess what? The Bible says when you accept Christ as your Savior that you are now in him and he's in you. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away. All things become new. Brand new. Who would want that? I'm going to give you an opportunity in a few moments to take the gift of God, the gift that God has given you, and that's Jesus Christ. But I just want to talk to the Christian for a moment. Those of you who know God and you've heard this and you're just, oh, yes, I did that. You've opened the door, but you haven't walked through the door and enjoyed Christ. See, maybe you need to just, for a moment, stop pretending and start living. Maybe you need to say, I need to stop pretending, I need to start living. And I'm going to ask you, if you want to do that today, because I think a lot of times in the Christian life, we open the door and say, Christ, come on in. And then he waits. Sis, I'm waiting for you to talk to me. I'm waiting for you to just talk, read my words, spend some time with me. I thought we were going to be friends. I think it's time to stop the pretending and start the living. I'm going to ask you to make your way to the front if you want to say, I'm going to stop pretending, I'm going to start living. I'm going to ask the elders right now to make your way to the front. I want you to stand up here, front, before these front pews, and I want you to just be in prayer for God's people. I want you to pray that God will do a mighty work among his people today. Just make your way. Come stand up front here and be in prayer. But maybe this morning you need to say, I'm talking to the Christian here, maybe you need to say, I need to surrender completely to him everything. Maybe I need to surrender my depression to him. I need to surrender my critical spirit to him. Maybe I need to give my tongue of gossip to him. Maybe I need to let loose my past. Maybe I need to let him have my present. I need to release my pain. Make your way to the front. I need to just open that door, but I need to walk in. Some of you have opened the door, but you've never walked in. You've never had him as your friend where you can just sit with him every day and allow him to take the pain and the suffering that we will invariably go through. Just make your way to the front if you want to do that this morning. Say, take it. It's yours, God. Just make your way. Come forward and make your way down here. Now, maybe you've never enjoyed the life that Christ has for you. You've never taken that step. You may be a Christian for years, but you've been very unhappy. You've been miserable. You've just been getting by each day, and you've been unlovable, and you've been hurt, and you've been depressed and despaired, and you've been a defeated Christian. It's time today to start living. Walk through that door and start having the relationship that Christ really wants to have with you. Don't let anything hold you back. If the Holy Spirit is talking to you right now and nudging you, come and stand right up here. Come stand right up here. Don't let anything hold you back from following Christ. Come and stand right up here. Right up front, right in front of God's altar. Maybe you start to say, oh man, Lord, I've just been a witness. I've been a witness of all the hurt and the pain, the turmoil that it is to be a Christian. Maybe you need to become a valiant warrior to tell others about Christ instead of telling your friends about your other friends. Maybe you need to start preparing to live for eternity in the place where Christ says, well done. And you need to start now, today. Just come forward, make your way. Make your way. Don't hold back. Just make your way. Maybe here this morning you've never opened the door. I'm asking you this morning, do you know Christ? Is he the center of your life? Are you living for him? Are you getting to know him daily in a deeper way? If God is talking to you this morning and you're one of those who need him to come in, scrub you clean today, you need the stain remover, make your way to the front, just down here. This is difficult, but don't let anything bother you. Don't let anything keep you from the glorious riches found in Jesus Christ. It's between you and God. Come to him. Today is your birthday. This is your real birthday. The Bible says in order for a person to be saved, they must confess with their mouth, believe in their heart that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. If you're prepared to do that this morning, to say by making your presence known right here, make your way forward. And by that you're confessing, saying, Jesus died, he rose from the dead, and I believe it today. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything stop you. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and I'm going to ask you, if God is talking to you right now, and you know you should have come forward, you make your way to the front. You make your way to the front. Don't let anything stop you from coming to the altar of God. Don't let anything hinder you. Don't let anything prevent you from coming forward and saying, God, I just need this fresh start. I need a fresh start in my life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just make your way. Just make your way. Maybe today you want to say to him, God, I've held on long enough to my past. I've held on long enough to to the depression that's been paralyzing me, to the despair that I've been walking through, Lord, to the habit that has just been ingrained in me, to the addiction that has become part of my life. Lord, I've been holding on to my spouse. I've been holding on to my family. I've been holding on to my grandchildren. And now it's time for me to finally let you have this. This is how you start living. Make your way to the front if you want to give it to him. So I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, but I want the worship team to come up, and I want you to just start singing, softly singing our final song. Softly start singing. Just make your way to the front and start singing. Maybe today you've been struggling with this because it just doesn't make sense to you. It just seems too difficult. And you can't, with the childlike faith, come and really believe God anymore. Today, make today your birthday. Come down and just stand in front here and say, Lord, today I just surrender it all. I give it all to you. I'm going to pray with you. You can pray in your heart. You can pray it loud, however you want. God, you're excited. You're an exciting God. You're an awesome God. I am so excited for these people, Lord, who are just standing here right now today. Lord, and we pray together. We say, Father God, I love you. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for me. I believe you shed your blood for me. I believe you forgive my sins. I believe I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry. Forgive me for everything I've ever done wrong. I receive you, Jesus, right now. I want to be a Christian. Come and live inside of me. Take me just the way I am and make me what you want me to be. I love you. I love you. I love you. Right now, having the book of life has been brought out. And if you prayed that with me, your name is added into that book. Let's all pray together. Father God, above all, you came and you gave. And Lord, there have been times where we have struggled. We've opened the door, we've allowed you to come in, but we haven't walked in and enjoyed you, God. We want you as a friend, but yet, God, we don't talk to you enough. We don't even spend time with you, hardly at all, God. And so we walk in despair and defeat because we choose to. Lord, today, it's a new day. Today, we can't do this any longer. Today's a new day, God, where we prepare to live for you each and every moment of our life. We surrender whatever pain, whatever hurt, whatever action we're doing is not pleasing you, God. We surrender to you this morning because above everything else, it's all about you. I invite all God's people to stand with your eyes still closed. Lord, we as your people, we stand before the cross today. This cross, Lord, that serves as a reminder of what you gave to us, and that was your Son. And Lord, there have been times where even as a church we have failed you. There are times, Lord, where we haven't been living in unity or harmony. And God, for that we ask your forgiveness. We want to be the light to this world, Lord. We want to encourage one another. We want to pray for one another. You commanded us to do that. May we be the light for this world that already knows discouragement and pain. May we show your light, God, in all that we say and all that we do. Above everything else, the glory belongs to you. And all God's people said, amen. Let's sing that song together.